Hi, I'm Taylor Brown. I'm the lead program manager for our Windows Server Container Technologies in the Windows division at Microsoft. I'm really excited to be talking to you today about what we've done with Windows containers in the last year and how you can apply some of that in your own environments and start building great containerized solutions. To start off with, I think a couple helpful links. The first one here is a link to our main container landing page for Microsoft. This talks about all the things we're doing across Windows, across Azure, in Visual Studio, all of our container-related investments in kind of one nice place. The second link on here is a link to our documentation portal. This has got a lot of our getting started guides, general documentation on how containers work, as well as links to our forums and other resources. And then the last one I put on here is a link to all of our community resources. So as we find great blogs and videos and things that other people are doing in the community, we add those to this page to help other people discover those resources as well, right? So as we get into this, like the first big question is just what is a container? This may be a refresher for some of us, but if we think back in time, we used to go from a world where we had a hardware. We had a physical server that we installed an operating system on top of, and then we put an application on top of that, and we set it in the corner, and it ran for 3 or 4 years, and life was good. That hardware started getting more powerful, and we started to want to take advantage of the underutilized resource that we had. So we built hardware virtualization. This enabled us to take that hardware and split it up into multiple pieces. Each piece ran its own operating system, had its own set of applications on it, and was completely managed independently, but allowed us to take advantage of that hardware. This kind of almost accidentally birthed the cloud because we could now move those individual pieces, those VMs from the on-premise hardware into the cloud and back again, right? Which became the real power of virtualization. Containers, in contrast, are really just doing virtualization at a different layer. So we're taking the hardware, we're taking the operating system, and now we're splitting up that operating system into multiple pieces. We're enabling each container to run its own application completely independently of the other applications on the machine. So for example, we can now run two instances of SQL Server, both using the same name, service name, right? We couldn't do that before, but containers allow us to do that through virtualization. Now, much like the cloud, the real power of this actually comes into the ability for us to move these container images around, to take them from one place to another. So with Server 2016 and Windows 10, we're really excited to be bringing two container technologies to market. The first is what we call Windows Server containers. These are a traditional container model. They enable us to run multiple instances on top of the same kernel. And then we've got Hyper-V containers. This gives us the isolation of a virtual machine with the management model of a container, along with much of the same density and performance characteristics. And of course, these are completely compatible with each other, meaning you can build using a Hyper-V container and run it as a Windows Server container, or you can build it as a Windows Server container and run it as a Hyper-V container, all with a flip of a switch. So as we go forward, there's a couple pieces of vocabulary that are super useful. The first, what is Docker? We always hear about Docker containers and Docker this. What is Docker? Ultimately, Docker is a set of open source projects that create and manage and distribute containers. There's a number of pieces of this project that float around. And then there's a company, Docker Incorporated, that is the kind of company behind the project. They provide enterprise support. They provide some of the complete solutions around it. They're the financial entity behind the actual open source project. There's the Docker engine. The Docker engine is the core of the Docker project. It's what ultimately creates and ships and runs a Docker container. And it can be installed on either physical machines or virtual machines. It's very flexible. And now with Windows and Linux. Then there's a Docker image. This is kind of the basics of a container. It's the VHD of a container. It's what represents that entire container. It's what's ultimately going to be moved around. Then there's, of course, the Docker container. This is what is instantiated from that image. So when we run an image, we're creating a Docker container. And that's what's actually running our code inside of it. That's what's providing that isolation around everything. And then there's registries. These hold images. So we push an image into a container registry, and we can pull it back from a container registry. And we're going to see all of these in action in just a moment with our demo. But let's real quick just kind of put all the pieces together. So we've got build, we've got ship, and we've got run. Right? We think about this as developer, then we think about it as quality and into operations and kind of that whole life cycle. So from a developer lens, I want to build code. I want to write really great applications, and I want my tools to enable me to do that. And that's where we talk about building a container image. When we're done with that and we're ready to move it on to the next stage, put it into pre-production or production or quality assurance, we ship it by pushing it into a container registry. That enables our operations lifecycle to take over and start to run that application at scale. So running three instances of the web front end or making sure that our database is being backed by highly available storage. Right? And we're going to see an example of this in just a moment in our demo. In fact, with that, let's go in and connect over to our demo environment and see this all in action, because that's really where we're going to see the power of all of this. So here we are. We're on my Windows 10 development machine. And we're going to go ahead and start building a containerized application. Now, it turns out one container is kind of neat, but multiple containers is really what's where the fun's at. So we're going to use a tool called Docker Compose. What Docker Compose allows us to do is to build a multi-container application. So here's a Compose file. Now, I've defined a set of services. The first is a database. And of course, that's using Microsoft SQL Server 2016 Express. That's the image that it's using. Now I'm getting this image from the Docker Hub. We talked about registries a few minutes ago. I'm pulling this image down from the Docker Hub registry. The next image is one that I've built, TaylorB, and it's my music store, right? And this is the web tier of my application. And of course, the web tier depends on our database, okay? Now let's talk about the world of dev. So in the world of dev, I've gotten a little more specific. So I've taken my database tier and I've said, here's some environment information. I'm using a super secure password because honestly, I just want to be able to connect to my stuff and look around. And I'm publishing the SQL port out publicly so I can connect to that and play with it as well. What I'm really working on is my web tier. So what I've done here is I've set a build context. I've told this Docker Compose file how to build my container image. And I've done that by saying, use this Docker file. The Docker file is called dockerfile.windows. We'll take a look at that in just a second. And then I've given it some environment information. So I've said, connect to the SQL server named DB on port 1433 and connect to the music store database using the SA account and our super secure password, password one, right? Now, where did I get DB from? Well, I got DB from here. I named the service DB. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Just kind of put a mental pin in how on that name. Now let's look at our Docker file. So our Docker file says, start from the Microsoft.NET 1.0 preview image built on Nano server. That's gonna come from the Docker Hub. Then we're gonna use PowerShell. We're going to set some registry keys, do some other stuff, and then we're going to do the part that we all are really interested in. We're going to do a .NET restore of the music store sample, and we're going to do a .NET build of the music store sample. We're going to tell it to expose port 5000. Why? Because we're going to use the URL 5000 here. Okay, so enough looking at files. Let's see this in action. So I'm hooked up to a console, and I'm just going to say Docker Compose dash F, and I'm going to give it that first file, the basic file that gives us our outline, and that's called docker-compose.windows. And then I'm going to give it our dev file, because I want to actually do some development here. So docker-compose dev, and I'm going to say up dash D to start it in the background. Now what this is doing is it's starting a couple containers. We're starting our music store database container. We're starting our web container. Okay, so if we do a Docker Compose PS, we can now see we've got those two containers up and running. This guy's being published out to port 5000. So sure enough, if we go over and connect to our host here on 5000, in a moment here, once this fully renders, so we've got to do our real-time compile, we'll have our music store up and running. 124. Now we're getting the page to actually render and load. So we're hitting that the first time. It's doing its real-time compile. And sure enough, we've got our music store. Amazing what the right IP address will do for us. But this is a sample. I don't want it to be a sample. I want it to be my music store. I'm going to go make some money on this thing. I'm going to go over to this config.json file. And we'll just change that over to Taylor's music store. And we'll save that sucker. And come back over here. And all we have to do is say Docker compose build. So we just build that. Now, notice that was a really fast build. It knew that everything else stayed the same. In fact, it knew that the database stayed the same. So it's almost done building here. All right, we're done building. Now we'll just do a Docker compose up dash D. So it's recreating just the music store web because the database was already there. Go ahead and refresh this guy. Okay, it'll take it a second. All right, now we're doing our actual caching. So it's actually started up. It's connecting to the database. And here we go. We got Taylor's Music Store now. Sweet. Now let's go to production. So how do I do that? Well, I need to push this image to the Docker Hub. So I'm going to say Docker push Taylor B. And then it's my music store underscore web. So I'm pushing that image to the Docker Hub. So you can see it's pushing these layers. These all other layers already exist because they're the .NET layers, they're the Windows layers. They're all already pushed. Now I'm going to switch over to a Docker host. How am I going to do that? Well, I'm just going to run a little batch file I have here that's called Azure host. All this does is set my host to a new IP address. This happens to be the IP address of my Azure host. And I'm going to use Docker compose again, but now I'm ready to go to production. So I've got another Docker file that builds on top of our original one that specifies some environment stuff for production. I'm still using the same password. I should probably change that, but for now, we'll just use it. I'm only exposing 1433 internally now, though. I'm not exposing it publicly. And I'm only saying 5,000 one time, right? If we look at our dev file, back here we said 5,000, 5,000. And we'll talk about why that is in just a second. But we're ready to go to production with this, so let's go ahead and spin that up. So all we have to do is we go Docker compose up. Instead of dev, we're going to say production. And we'll say up dash D. So we are now pulling that image in because my Azure host doesn't have that image, right? We just changed it. It just got published. So it's extracting it. It's getting it ready to run. So this is literally pulling that all that image metadata from the Docker Hub, extracting it on disk and putting it into our local repository to start our container images. Almost done here. There we go. Now we're creating the database, right? And we're creating our web tier. And just like we did before, we can go do a Docker PS. Now the important part of PS this time is that, remember I didn't specify a port? Well, I told it to use a random port this time. So it's using port 52020. So now let's go to our Azure host. So taylorb.host in Azure. We'll go to that port. Just like we had before, it's got to do its initial kind of compile, connect to the database, populate the sample data there. But we can see this is actually running. It's running in West Central US. Refresh it one more time. All right, so now let's go ahead and hit that website over in Azure. So we'll go to my new host here and specify port 52020. And sure enough, there we go. We've got Taylor's Music Store running in production. I'm ready to start taking some orders. We can go pick up some music here. But what if I get really popular and I need to scale this up? Well, this is why we actually didn't specify a port. So now I can do scale web equals 2. What this is going to do is it's going to create another instance of our web tier pointing at the same database. So if we do a PS to list all of our containers, we're now going to see that we've got another container here, 440033. And if I wanted to, I could do scale 5 and start up even a couple more web servers because my website obviously is going to be incredibly popular, right? I'm going to need a lot of them. So we had this one particular one fail, but yeah, it's okay because we've got four of other ones running. And if I needed to, I could spin up some additional ones to take over for that one that had a bug. I could go fix that and I could push a new image and magically we would have that scale out into our production service in Azure. So what did we just see? Well, we just saw going from a development machine, doing our local development, getting that image ready, getting the code ready for production, pushing that image into production, and then using the exact same automation and tooling with just some environmental differences to run it in production in Azure, right? Again, just a couple of the great examples of things we can do with containers. Once you go get started, you'll learn about all the other magical things that are possible. Okay, that was great. We got to see an example of how we took an application, we built it on a machine, we were able to modify it very quickly and rapidly, and then push it into production and run it at a higher scale in a more effective manner, right? All using the same tool set, all using the same building blocks, and all in a very described manner. This was just a really quick introduction into what we can do with containers. If you want to learn more about it and get started, again, back to our three earlier links. Take a look at the containers landing page, microsoft.com/containers. Great starting point to get used to all of the things that we're doing in containers. Go take a look at our getting started guide for Windows containers. You can literally be up and running and building your first container image in a matter of a couple minutes, in less time than this video took to watch. And then go take a look at those community links. And maybe you will be the next one to write a great blog that lands on that page as well. Really excited to be able to talk to you about all this today, and hope you have a great time playing with Windows containers. Thank you.